Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Outreach Radio, brought to you by the Elite Speakers Bureau. Join ESB owners and your hosts, Denise Brown and Danielle Pierre, as they discuss and interview their expert speakers regarding topics such as violence prevention, school safety, suicide prevention, addiction and recovery, mental health and wellness, leadership, and more. Denise and Danielle also interview event hosts about their upcoming events, so tune in weekly to ask questions, find solutions, or get event information. All showtimes to be announced. And now, here's your hosts, Denise and Danielle.
Hi, everybody. This is Danielle. Welcome to Outreach Radio.
Hi, everyone. This is Denise.
So we have a really wonderful guest today, Erica Gilchrist. She is the unstoppable woman, so I really can't wait to get into that conversation, how to be unstoppable. Denise, how about you?
Yes.
Are you an unstoppable woman?
You know, yeah, of course I am. You know, the great thing is I was reading about Erica, and I love the fact where she says she reached deep within and tapped the secret that set her free, and also that she was a young woman that was in a shelter. And, you know, yeah. I just sit there and I think about all these women that go into shelters, and the thing that I hear the most in all, like the 20 years that I've traveled, is, oh, my God, I am so afraid to go to a shelter. It's like, well, why? See, I have seen shelters. I have traveled the country, traveled the world, and I have gone to shelters. And I think what happens is they don't really advertise what a shelter looks like. You know, they don't allow the media to go into the shelters. There's only one that I saw in all of my travels that was like a dormitory style. Every other one had rooms, had their own rooms for themselves, for their children, and it was really like a homey feel. And I wish, I think the word shelter is probably the wrong name for these things. I mean, they are shelters and they do keep you safe, but a safe haven, how about a safe home? Because they really do. I mean, and everybody there, I mean, they just treat you as if you're part of a family. And so I would love to get rid of that stigma of, you know, the shelter and the dormitory style and living with everybody, living on top of each other. And, you know, because that is what
I agree. Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, yeah.
Maybe
and that,
other people
that, you know
differently.
Yeah. You know, and that's just one aspect, and we'll get into this with Erica. This is just one aspect of her story. It's there's a lot more to it, but it wasn't just the shelter. But that is something that we would like to find out on when she was. Let's see. I think she was in a women's shelter as a young woman. Yeah, as a young woman. And we'll get back. We'll get into that and explain a little bit more of the background when we come back and bring her on. So, that is definitely something, because a lot of women don't have the courage to go to a shelter. And this is why, again, with domestic violence, or not even just domestic violence, but any reason that brings you to a shelter, it could be homelessness. It could be a number of reasons that women don't seek out this type of help. So I want to know.
And then they're afraid.
Yeah, but the unstoppable. And, you know, I love that. I love that title, the unstoppable woman. I've used that when I was doing a transition for myself years ago. I don't know that I ever told you that, or Erica even. And I had used that word for myself to get over a certain, transition into a different level of life. And I used that.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually the unstoppable Danny California at the time. Because I call myself Danny California.
Oh, my
Red
God.
Hot Chili Peppers have, you know, Danielle. My nickname is Danny. I live in California. And there's a song by the Red Hot Chili Peppers called Danny California. How appropriate. So I used that as my own self-title to push me through. And so when I saw her, the unstoppable woman, I'm like, oh, yeah, you go, girl.
That's empowering in itself.
It is empowering, because when you tell yourself that you're unstoppable and you believe that you are, you really truly are. You can accomplish whatever you want. And Erica, of course, will more into this. And we know that you're unstoppable. You're a force of nature, Denise.
Well, I do try. You know, I think what it is is also a positive outlook. You know, I've got a positive outlook on life. I think that we as women, we need to work together. We need to stick together. We need to help each other. It's not, when I was growing up, can I just be really brutally honest? I had more male friends than I did female friends. And the reason being is because every female friend I had stabbed me in the back one time or another, and it was really sad. Then I was about 10, I don't know, I was living in, I was living, before I moved down here to Laguna Beach, and we had, because we had this camaraderie with these, like, 8 to 10 girls. And that was, like, really great when we were younger. But then when we got older and I moved away from that and I found other friends and down here at the beach and met new people, I just, you know, and in my travels and things, I just thought, wow, you know, I mean, girls are really catty. And I just, it was so discouraging sometimes. So I had mostly male friends for a lot of my adult or, young adult growing up. And
I can relate to that too. And that's, you know,
but I think women need to work together.
You know what's funny about that?
Yeah.
You have three sisters, and I have four sisters. We both have, and all women in my family. So I don't have any brothers. I have a half brother, but that's regardless. He wasn't raised with us. So that I find that kind of amusing, actually, because you are an all girl family. We were an all girl family, also five girls in this family. And yet, I did also have more male friends growing up than I did female. But I think that as we got older, too, that there's a lot of competition and insecurities that go on in women, and they really do need to empower each other, so, you know, and as opposed to work against. It's just such a weird. Let's bring Erica on.
Yeah, let's do.
She can
let's
unravel
talk about
this mystery
this.
A little bit. And
okay.
Yeah. Well, I'll be unstoppable. Okay, commercial break, and we'll be right back.
Who better to inform, educate, and motivate our families, students, school staff, and the community than the experts? The Elite Speakers Bureau, Inc. was formed to do just that. Our speakers are experts and professionals with vast knowledge who bring awareness to many issues, including bullying, abuse, violent crimes, stalking, and mental health, just to name a few. Our team of experts include renowned authors, advocates, therapists, celebrities, and more. If you would like to book one of our acclaimed speakers for your next event, or for more information, visit www.theelitespeakersbureau.com or call 949-544-1410. That number again is 949-544-1410.
Welcome back, everybody. We are going to bring on our guest here in a second, Erica Joseph. Erica, she was violated as a little girl. She was living in a women's shelter as a young woman, slept in a van with her ex-husband, depressed, literally crying in a corner, and she was able to reach deep within and tap a secret that set her free. And thus, she began her journey of empowering other women to be unstoppable. Erica.
Hello, good afternoon, ladies,
Welcome.
Or unstoppable ladies. How are you?
We're good. How are you? We're doing great.
How are you?
Oh, today is a good day. Thank you so much for asking. And let me just start by saying the two of you are definitely forces to be reckoned with. I'm proud of you both for joining this movement to empowering other women to know that they are unstoppable. So I want to make sure I said that, because once I start talking, it's hard to shut me up. But I want to make sure I said that before dive right into the meat and potatoes. Congratulations, ladies.
Thank you, Erica.
That's really sweet. Appreciate it. Now, here, you said you began your journey. You tapped deep within yourself. You know, a lot of women, they can't tap into themselves. They don't know how. They live in fear. The whole surrounding everything is just fear-based. How did you do that as a young woman?
Well, first, I moved
what
out of the house when I was 19 years old. And so I've been on my own for quite some time, and I'm on the other side of 40 now, so it's a long time to be on your own. Growing up, most women are not taught how to do that, mostly because the people who raised them did not know how to do that. If you grow up in a household that is religious or they follow a particular mantra, it doesn't really teach you how to do that. It lets you know that there's something there, right, that's
mm-hmm.
there to empower
yeah.
you and strengthen you. But they don't really teach you how to tap into that. And for me, and for many women, unfortunately, what has to happen is that you hit absolute rock bottom so that the only option is to tap deep within. So what did that look like for me? For me, I had never been homeless until I got married. I thought that getting married would somehow make my life better, and it did not. So for me, what that looked like is I am in this shelter. I'm looking out of the window, and I'm wondering, how did I get here? Someone like me, you know, I'm very happy, and in general, people look to me for advice. Like, how did I get here? And I really just wanted to end it all. I was done. I figured I'd done everything that I can, and I'm about ready to check out of this place because it has to be better than where I am right now. And for me, there was a voice as clearly as you can hear my voice right now, and it was like, Erica, you're better than this. I need you to get up off of the floor. And I did rise to my feet, and the only word that could come to me in that moment was the word unstoppable. I had to first realize that the things that have happened to me are things that were presented to make me unstoppable or to help me realize that I was unstoppable. And a lot of
women, I just got goosebumps.
When they hear, it is, it's one of those situations where it's like,
yeah.
whoa. Yeah, it is a whoa moment. Yeah, and a lot of women don't think of themselves as unstoppable because they think that being unstoppable and being invincible are the same thing. They are not. Undesirable things are going to happen to you. You're not invincible. But what do you do when those undesirable things happen? That is what makes you unstoppable. The moment nothing happens and you don't have to overcome anything, consider yourself stopped because that's not what life is. Life doesn't go in a straight line, right? So because it doesn't go in a straight line, you have to ride the wave. And life goes in cycles. So for me, that's what that looked like. And the whole situation with the domestic violence I found myself in, or now they're calling it intimate partner violence, for me it was the weight gain approach, meaning it kind of snuck up on me pound or two at a time until one day I realized, you know, that your clothes don't fit anymore. That's the weight gain approach. It was a drip. A little bit here and a little bit there. And one day I looked up and I was like, I didn't recognize my life. I did not recognize the happy person that I used to be. I looked different. I dressed different. I spoke differently. And once I realized what it was I was in, I made the decision to get out. And that was an easy decision to make, but it was difficult to implement. Go ahead.
That's a common what's the word I'm looking for? Description.
That's common denominator.
Women who are in domestic violence relationships is the slow drip. It happens
mm-hmm.
so subtly that by the time you realize what's going on, you're already neck deep in emotional and everything else. So and financially, all kinds of things. So that's
mm-hmm.
important that you said that. But you know, I think so by calling yourself unstoppable, you've just told yourself a different story. You just changed the story. Correct?
Yeah.
Erica, when you were in the shelter, that's when you had that epiphany. That's when you had that awakening and you called yourself unstoppable. Did you leave the shelter at that point? Did you leave and just pursue a life without your husband at that point? And then you just kind of empowered yourself and learned these ways? Or what happened after you left the shelter? Or did you?
So first, I entered the shelter with the understanding that was a temporary situation. So I entered the shelter
uh-huh.
knowing I was going to leave. So I made that decision. I just needed a little bit of time to regroup and to figure out a plan. And once that plan did not come to me, that's when I broke down and had that moment because I figured it would come to me within a matter of days. I mean, I put a timeline on it, which I should not have done. But once I had that epiphany, Then I started to strategize about how I was going to get out of there, but get out of there successfully. And what I mean by that is when I leave there, I would be able to take care of myself. So what I started doing, I started creating ways to earn money for myself. And some of the ways I did that, I mowed the lawn, I raked the leaves and shoveled the snow, and I washed cars, I cleaned toilets. I did everything I could do to earn a dollar. And $1 turned into $2, and I would reinvest in myself until I was finally able to get myself a small studio apartment and just start to rebuild again. So I made the decision that I was going to leave. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you very much.
You are amazing because you know what? There's so many people that just sit there and they think, okay, well, somebody's going to pick me up. Somebody's going to – Danielle, I hear that cleaner.
I'm gonna mute myself, everybody, for a little while, and so that I won't be adding too much because
I hear that.
Yeah. So there's a cleaner in the background next door, of course.
Hold on one moment, Erica. What I'm saying is that you are you're truly, truly amazing because a lot of people, what they do is then they get to that point. They don't go within. They don't think that a lot of people feel like they're owed something from somebody else because, okay, well, mm-hmm. you were in this shelter. Okay, well, somebody owes me something. But you didn't go there, which is so commendable because so many people do, and especially our younger generation today, you know, they mm-hmm. feel like, oh, well, somebody's got to bail me out. Somebody owes me something. But you turned that dollar into $2, into $3, and you got on your feet. And now, Dory, you're empowering other women to do the exact same thing. Do you go into shelters and speak at shelters? Do you speak to these women?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. And what... In this business, what I've had to learn, when I say this business, I mean the speaking business, what I've had to learn is that you can't lead with your checkbook. You can't do that. This is not a business that is built upon making money. It's built upon making people better people, and that's the bottom line. That's my bottom line, right? So there are shelters.
Right.
They don't have any money, and that's okay. Sometimes you can get sponsorship. Sometimes you can get them just to purchase a few books for the ladies because I'm an author. There are many different ways monetarily to make it okay for you, but primarily that is not my focus. So I go into shelters. I've even taken it to corporate. I've taken this to college campuses, and I'm currently on my spring speaking tour speaking about the primary topic is humility is overrated. And it really humility is overrated, basically tells women to stop being so doggone humble about their gifts and their talents. And part of that has a lot to do, it's related to domestic violence. Here's how. When you are in a situation where you're allowing another person to control you, because that is the basis of domestic violence, when you do that, what you're saying to yourself is, I'm not worthy of having control of my own life. And every single person, doesn't matter who it is, they have some type of gift, some type of talent that they are underrating. And just like you said, Denise, a lot of people are waiting for someone else to hand them something or someone else is going to bail me out. It's the same thing with your gifts and your talents. Oh, someone's going to recognize how good I am at this and they're going to give me a raise. They're going to give me a job. They're going to help me fill in the blank. No, you have to say to yourself, I rock at this, and I deserve to get paid for this, and you go out with that particular attitude. Just the other day, my niece, she's only 22 years old, she got a promotion, and people who were there 10 years were upset with her. Well, why did they promote you? She said, I asked for it. It was really something for her to be so young. She's like, I asked for it. I know I can do the job, and I asked them for it. They said, yes, you've proven yourself. Here you go. The people who were there for 10 years were waiting for someone to give them the promotion simply because they were there. Humility is an overrated virtue. It just is.
That's key.
Love it.
You know, then it's really your self-talk then. Have you ever heard the saying, and I'm sure you have, the world sees you the way you see yourself?
Absolutely.
I believe that completely. I believe the way that you, the self-talk that you give yourself, the way that you see yourself is how the world sees you as well. just what you said.
I would agree with that.
She asked, yes, she asked for that raise. So she got it, or the promotion. She got the promotion because that's how she saw herself. I can do this. And there's no fear there.
Yes.
So your self-talk then is huge, correct?
Yes, it absolutely is. Yeah. It's probably the most important talk you're ever going
to
have. Is with yourself.
Yeah, yourself.
And I was listening to you ladies in the beginning, and I have 6 sisters and 4 brothers, okay? So I have a really huge family. Yeah, there's a lot of us.
I don't even
remember all my nieces and nephews' names.
Are you the youngest?
It's got to be a long call. No, I am 4th from the oldest, so most of my siblings are younger. Yeah,
okay.
So I'm big sister.
That makes sense, too.
Most of the time. And my nieces and nephews watch me. They watch what I do. So I have to make sure that what it is that I'm doing, just like you said, the world sees you as you see yourself. I want them to understand that it's possible for them to live their true potential and authenticity. So that's really, really important to me.
Now, Guy, Erica, are your sisters anything like you?
In what way?
You've got the positive attitude. You've got the go-getter. Because in my family, each one of us are different. We're all different.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really incredible. And so I was just curious, because the way you have done this and pulled yourself out of the trenches and just gone and go, were your siblings anything like you at all? I mean, did they have any kind of problems like that, and they pulled themselves out just the way you were doing it, and you're teaching your niece and nephew how to do this? I mean, are you guys similar in that respect?
Not to the degree that I am. I think many of my sisters are in that phase of their lives where they're realizing their true potential. I'm starting to see that. So it's just happening for them a little later in life than when it happened to me. So for them, yes, we are alike in that we realize that we are unique and that we are special, but it's taking them a little longer than it took me to stand in that personal truth, if that makes any sense. So it's very clear that they're on their way.
Did you have anything to do with helping them? Did you educate them? Did your attitude and your behavior and your attitude towards life, did that give them a little bit of encouragement when they saw you succeed and when they saw you, you know, become the woman that you are, that unstoppable woman? Did that give them the courage to do it, or the oh my God, look at her, I want to be like that?
Oh, I'm sure it did. I'm absolutely sure it did.
Yeah.
But my siblings and I, we're spread out all over the United States, so we're not in the same city. So we don't see each other every day. We don't talk every day. So we have our family reunions where we can get together. We keep in touch on Facebook, but yes. And they've actually told me that, you know, with what you're doing, I'm so inspired by you, and here's what it is I'm doing with my life right now. So it does play a role, but honestly, no matter how inspired you are by others, the decision is always yours. So whenever they make the decision to make their lives better, I make sure that I acknowledge that and let them know how proud I am of them for doing that. That's really, really important.
Now,
you know, and
Erica, do you get emails from people that you've spoken with of, oh my gosh, your talk was just so wonderful, and this is, I've changed my life here, I've done this, I've done that. Do you get emails like that? I would imagine you do.
I do, but I think one of the most impactful, there's probably 4, but one of the most impactful just happened on Tuesday, actually 2 days ago. So long story short, a gentleman who was my contact person at a college where I was speaking, he says, my fiance read your book, The Secrets to Being an Unstoppable Woman, and he said she was at a point in her career where she was really uncertain of her level of expertise. And then she read the chapter, Humility is Overrated, and she decided to apply for 2 positions that she felt she was not qualified for after she read that chapter, and she was offered both of those positions. And he said, I want you to know that my fiance now has her dream job because of something that she read in your book, and that gave me goosebumps. That's why
that
I do what it is
again.
That I do.
You know, and that's really
great.
what this your message is all about. And Erica, you go into universities, like you said, you go into shelters, you speak for now corporate as well. I think you have a
yes.
have a couple of books, The Unstoppable Woman, and then, and I'm, I apologize, it's not in front of me now because I'm hiding from the next door neighbor's chamfer, so I can't see. Bad timing. So, but you have, can you tell us your book, please, what the title is?
Okay,
are?
Sure. So there's eight, so get ready. There is 10 ways to, yeah, there's a lot on there. I talk a lot, so I write a lot. There's 10 ways to prevent failure, starting today, The Success Guide for the Unstoppable Entrepreneur, The Unstoppable Woman's Guide to Emotional Well-Being, The Secrets to Being an Unstoppable Woman, Emotional Wellness for Women, Volume 1, How to Write and Publish Your Book Now, and then the book that I am writing right now, which is If You Leave, I Will Kill You, Getting Off the Beaten Path of Domestic Violence. And that one is scheduled
that's
to be released
wonderful.
In September of this year.
Wonderful.
Wow.
And
that's
you know,
a powerful
you can have
title.
A couple. And that's a lot of books. You are unstoppable. Woo! Okay,
oh,
so you
thank
can
you.
Get these titles on our website at theelitespeakersbureau.com. Speakers this month, so it's really easy to find. Just go to theelitespeakers.com, click on her bio, and there is a couple of her books. We don't have all 10 of them. I didn't realize, but I'm of course, once you get into that link, then you'll probably find the others. And if you would like information on booking Erica, contact us because she is unstoppable. She can speak to your women. Audiences, female audiences, and actually I don't think the males would mind hearing this either. You know, this can be empowering for everyone.
I do have men.
So,
yeah, I do have men who
yeah.
are in the audiences,
yeah,
and they love it. They absolutely love it.
Yeah. It's not just for women. So we can all be unstoppable. Wonderful. Erica,
yes.
thank you so
and
much.
And before we leave, I want to make sure I mention that I am creating a domestic violence survivor calendar for 2016. And I'll have them reach out to you guys to reach out to me to find out more information. It doesn't cost anything. There's no investment. But I want to use this as a fundraiser to raise awareness about how to escape and prevent intimate partner violence. So I'm looking for survivors.
Wonderful.
Oh, thank you so much. You're doing great work.
Thank you, Erica.
So, yes, absolutely.
Thank you for joining
us.
I wish we could keep talking.
We appreciate
it. It has been a lot of information.
Thank you, ladies. I appreciate you having me. And keep doing what you're doing, please.
And you too.
And you too.
I will.
Thank you so
you.
Much. Have a great
bye.
Afternoon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. Please join us again next Tuesday night for another great show. For more information about upcoming shows, visit us at www.outreachradioshow.com.